right! Raise the axe! Blade toward me! Raise the axe!
Welcome to Fear Me.
Fear Me. You just fear me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 146. How are you doing, guys?
146.
I am much better right now, I can tell you that much.
Why is that, Stuart?
We had some things to deal with during the weekend and before the weekend, and now I'm past all that, and I feel a lot freer. Let me just say it that way. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm a little shell-shocked, but I'm getting there. You know, it's been, like you said, it was an interesting weekend. Work has been a delight.
Now, all of our listeners are going to be like, what happened over the
weekend? I know, exactly. Just like the episode of this Fear, there's going to be a lot of questions out there as to what the hell we're talking about.
Exactly. Let's just say family got together, that's always an interesting situation.
Yeah. Our niece was here, and she was on the last podcast. She was not part of the drama, and she was awesome.
Yeah.
And we were very happy to have her here. Even though she knew nothing about the episode or anything.
Hey, she participated.
She did a great job.
No, she did. Yep. She did do good.
So how are you doing, Kim?
Oh, I'm good. We got a puppy over the weekend.
Oh, and that wasn't part of the drama either.
It was kind of drama.
Maybe it added to it.
He's a handful. But his name is Bacon, and he's a four-month-old chocolate lab, full of energy, full of pee and poop, and has needle sharp teeth that keeps biting the kids with. And
yeah, but he's extremely cute. He makes up for it.
His whole body wiggles when he shakes his tail.
So he likes to leave his mark around the house?
He does.
He's about twice the size of what I thought he was going to be when I agreed to this.
Gotcha.
So he's a big guy. He's almost as big as our boy Rogue,
who's 14 years old.
Yeah. So
wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to see Bacon when he's a little bit calmer and tamer.
Yeah, Bacon's he's a big guy. So we've opened up a can of worms on that. But it's good for our family.
I'm going to open up a can of whoop ass if he pees in the dining room again.
Yeah, you just got to get the kids on board and we're set.
Hell, you can't get the kids to stop peeing in the dining room.
That is very true.
Crazy weekend, lots of stuff going on. And then we topped it off with a great episode of Fear.
Which is deserving of a midweek beer. Scott, what are you drinking?
I am drinking another one from the local brewery here, Birdsong. It's called All Night Long Blonde Ale. And it's set up to look like the Knights baseball team logo.
Nice.
It's a tribute to them.
Yeah, it's great.
So it's really cool. And it's a blonde ale. I'm not a fan of blonde ales, but I have a feeling, having had some blonde ales that people have told me were really good, that this would rate pretty well. Because I know a lot of people around here talk about this one blonde ale that Noda makes, and this tastes very much like that.
Well,
if
then
not, maybe a little bit better.
Next week, you got to get that one so you can compare.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. How about you, Kim?
I am drinking a beer from the 21st Amendment Brewery. I don't know where this is from, though.
Utica, New York.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, it's called The Tasty, and it's an IPA.
And the can is beat to hell.
It's a seasonal release, and it's got Benjamin Franklin.
Ben Franklin, yeah.
Partly naked.
He's rolling around
in some hops,
right? He's rolling around in a bed of hops.
Yeah, with his infamous kite right next to him.
Nice.
It's a really good beer.
He's got hops on his boobs.
He does.
That's
like
nice.
Little pasties. Pasties.
Right on. Stu, what are you drinking?
I have the Bug Zapper Sour Ale from Avery Brewing out of Boulder, Colorado. And let me tell you, aptly named.
Is it good or bad?
It's, lime zest, ginger, and mint.
Oh.
I think they could have left the mint out. Can the I mint kind of kills it a little bit, but yeah, it is a bug zapper for your taste buds.
Ooh, it smells weird.
Taste and it. Folks, you can't see it, but the two cans that they're drinking from are beat to hell. They look like they've had a bad day.
That's horrible.
So you want to tell us how you got these beers, Stu?
Mm. We had a swim meet on Thursday, and we were talking to one of our friends who is a connoisseur of craft beers. And so he said, oh, I got some stuff for you to try. And so he said he was going to fill up our mailbox. So Friday morning, I went out to my mailbox, and there was 10 completely different beers in the mailbox. And a lot of beer in the bottom of the mailbox, which I texted to him. I said, well, that's a good way to wake up. And he said, yeah. Some tried to get away on the way over, because I guess he drove his golf cart over, and the beers had been flying out of the back of the golf cart. So many of these cans are very beat to hell. But
yes. I was worried I wouldn't be able to open this one.
I said, you can't let him get away, man. Can't let him get away.
No. But that's good. Good guy. Fill in the mailbox. I like that.
Yeah, he's a great neighbor. He's a keeper. Yeah.
Very cool.
All right.
So we got this. We got the episode this week.
Yeah. So
Humbug's Gulch. Gulch.
We're gonna cover Fear the Walking Dead season 5 episode 3. Humbug's Gulch.
Yeah. So Kim, what did you think of Humbug's Gulch?
Oh my God! Compared to the last two, this was great. I was happy to have something that was really interesting, finally. By the way, this was directed by Coleman Domingo. This is his second time that he's directed an episode for Fear. The last one was last season. So anyways, it was a great episode. I was really excited about some of the walkers that they had in the episode. And then the whole John and June and Dwight scenario was amazing.
I have to say, yeah, I mean, we all knew it was coming, but I was surprised when Dwight showed up, and I thought that was great.
I was too. I love the way that they brought him in, where his head was kind of down, and you were like, is that Dwight?
Yeah. Well, played well, because, I mean, you did think that you had this big bad that was out there to get him, and the storm, with the confusion of the storm that was going on, it was like, it was a perfect time to introduce him.
I also liked the way that they didn't create this conflict between him and Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, right.
They could have milked that out if they wanted to by making Morgan mad at him because he was with the Saviors and so forth. I thought it was good that they just kind of didn't do that. Right. They Morgan accepted him.
It was so you forth, did so. Question it though when you first watch it. Mm-hmm. You're like, "Wait, are they mad at each other?"
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what right. was in their past that like would they still be pissed at each other? They wouldn't be pissed at right. each other right now, right? Yeah, yeah. So you were kind of wondering what was going on. I had questions for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why the hell did they not just wait out the dust storm?
Yeah, I know.
Or why was it better to get in the car that had the broken window in the dust storm? Why did Dwight jump off the roof all of a sudden when everything seemed fine and all of a sudden he jumps off the roof and then it becomes like a whole another chaotic episode or another problem? Or, you know, why the San Antonio axe split bullet? There was just like all these things.
Because that was just cool.
Yeah. And so many humbug gulches, like where, you know, I mean, and there just happens to be one that is in this area where they're trapped because these kids are creating walker barriers everywhere. There's a humbug gulch.
Yeah.
There that he didn't know about, but he's like, oh, hell yeah, that's where I'm going to go. And he knows where all the guns are and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of suspend your disbeliefs in this episode. And I liked it.
Okay.
Because that's the whole point. The show is like, you know, there's just crazy, you know, stuff. I enjoyed the silliness of some of it. Too. So and I was excited for it.
Did June really say we can't leave because it's almost midnight in the middle of the day?
There was that whole conversation they had inside was a little weird. Like
yep.
The guys, I felt like I was watching an episode of Z Nation. I thought it was terrible.
Oh, come and on. It wasn't even that bad, seriously. And I've never watched it.
Listen, you're bringing up Coleman Domingo. I've never seen an episode with such poor attention to detail. I mean, the stuff in this thing was awful. I mean, it was just awful.
Wow.
I don't know if you noticed it during the windstorms that none of the trees are blowing.
I did not notice.
I mean, I'm watching this. They're not really, one damn tree moves.
They're really dry. The windstorm. They were really, so they were just kind of stiff.
I was just like, are you kidding me? This is terrible. Oh, my God. And why would, you know, some just a bunch of stupid things. Like, why would Alicia leave the nail board on the road?
That was the other one I wanted to mention. That was a little.
There were so many of those kind of scenes in this thing.
You're
that
right.
I was just like.
Wait, especially when you.
The
worst part about that was when she left it, she said, Morgan will be right behind us. And you're like.
You're right.
Well, then move the board.
But it was that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, oh, my God, what the hell? Who came up with this? This is horrible.
And then when Morgan shows up in the truck, you're like, do you think he saw the board?
Yeah.
Luckily, he's got double tires.
Yeah, we were like, you know, maybe they should put like some balloons out so that he knows where it's at. Some sort of marker.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, and this is the thing that's been bugging me for the last couple of episodes since we started watching these walkers strung up by their guts. Why are those stopping anybody? I mean, what the hell? I mean, drive through them. They did it in the episode. I mean, or you know, why would you even get out of your car and start cutting them off with machetes?
But if they...
Where you put yourself out there as a target.
Well, if they drive through them, they can muck up the car.
Oh, well, they might get it dirty, but I don't think that's a big problem.
But if bits and pieces could get stuck in the engine, right?
They could damage the car with them in some way. Yeah, that's fine. I mean... But they obviously, when it was a stressful situation, they'd drive right through it. I mean, they've come across enough of them, they know there's not, like, cables there that are actually going to stop them.
Yeah, it's just silly. I mean, you know, and Dwight's talking about these things are off into the woods as far as a man can walk. Well, I got to tell you, by the time they got all those guys strung up, some of them would have rotted out of the thing by then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a silly premise. That's what's holding everybody back.
Cut the jerky between them and let them, like, go off to the side.
Well, the even more sillier premise is the idea that we're supposed to believe the kids are responsible for this.
Yeah, well, that at the end of it, I was just kind of like, oh, so they're the big bads?
I have to say that at the end of the episode, that part was disappointing. Yes.
Very disappointing. Yeah.
As you come in with the Price is Right little
disappointing
noise.
Exactly. And I'm also quite tired of everybody's with their soul searching this season. I mean, God, everybody doesn't think they deserve this or they don't deserve that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if I have to hear about June and John finding each other one more time, I'm going to scream.
I said the same thing. I'm like, oh, my God, we get it already.
It was, I didn't like it the first time I watched it, and I really hated it the second time I watched it.
But I think it worked for this episode just because of Dwight's storyline.
Yes.
Like, right.
Dwight's storyline I like.
If they hadn't done it
right.
The previous two episodes and just done it this time, then it would have gone off much better.
But even the stuff that they tried to be cutesy with, like the bullet, I mean, that was just so lame. Splitting the bullet on the axe, really? I know it was kind of meant to be hokey, but that's what I'm saying. It felt like Z Nation.
Well, the reason it was so lame was, like, you didn't have to do that. Yes, you have one bullet, but he's got an axe, and they're killing them all off without having to use ammo all the time. Like, why is it now they have to...
And also they have to worry about ammunition.
Yeah, now just
so
because
forth.
They're gunslingers in the OK Corral that they have to shoot every walker all of a sudden.
Just the stupid sagebrush blowing by all the time. I was like, oh my God,
which happens to only grow in that area.
Well,
yes, exactly.
And also the arm that Dwight used to hold it up was his shot arm. That was his injured arm. So how is he holding it up over his head like that?
And he's like, hold it higher!
Well, number one... Yeah. You're going to have a hard time holding that axe up over your head like that anyway.
Exactly.
And it got super still there.
It sure did.
Especially
and
with
he...
Scott's wrists, you know, supple they are.
Yes, seriously.
Yes, exactly.
He would have been in so much pain when that bullet hit the axe that he would have just freaked out. And nothing like that happened.
But just the whole premise of that was just, I know it was meant to be a little bit hokey. I get that. But in the whole episode, it just really... I don't know. I'm very discouraged by this now, unfortunately.
Well,
by this season.
It's interesting you say all that, because I was reading an article that where the guy was interviewing Coleman Domingo about this episode, and he talked about how he really paid super close attention to all the details, including the number of bullets that were in the guns.
Yeah.
Because he said if it's a six shooter and then that seventh shot goes off, the fans are going to go crazy. Because they're ones that are counting and they know better.
Well, then he didn't.
He picked the wrong thing to be focusing on.
Exactly.
You know what? How hard is it to find a day in Texas when the wind is blowing really heavily? Really? I mean, that's like every other day. You couldn't film on a day when you got a windstorm that are blowing the trees in the background and so forth.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I still don't understand why it was so important that they had to get back at that point. Like, I mean, I know, John said something. I forget what he said. Like that were they after the kids at that point? They were trying to find the kids at that point, or?
Yes.
Yeah. So he had said something about the importance of them getting back. But June didn't seem like she wanted to leave at all. But
she wanted to go upstairs and Fodio Doe.
Yeah. Well, except for the point when he's
Fodio Doe. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Did she actually say that?
No.
Okay.
No.
That sounded like it was one of the terms she used, though. She had
it
like
was the bedroom eyes to give it away.
Yes.
But when he said, "Oh, there's the brothel," and she was like, "Oh," and he was like, "Well, they serve soup there because there's the broth."
I
thought was funny.
The brothel.
Really?
But really? You didn't like
Stuart
that part?
Thought it was very cute. He's talked about it a lot.
I like the corniness of that one. That was because that's what he is, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So they go inside and she starts.
That was where I died one of my thousand deaths.
But she started reading all the terms. Was that on the.
Yeah, it was menu, on the card, talking about the different characters and stuff.
And that's when the San Antonio split came up, and then she started saying other things.
But she's sitting there drinking a beer while she's doing it.
I know.
That was the other thing. That's the other thing. I mean, another attention to detail. There's no beer that's good anymore.
Oh.
That's been sitting in the Texas heat for at least a year.
Yeah.
What beer there's no good beer anymore. There's no crunchy chips.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. That was funny. Coleman Domingo did a terrible job of making this realist.
You don't think the chips would be crunchy anymore?
No.
They are because they have bugs in them now.
Oh, well, there's that. Maybe she's just eating roach.
Beetle chips.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I mean, chips, do the chips like go bad? Like after a long time in a bag?
Let's do an experiment and find out.
Yes, they do.
They get stale. Well, they're so unnatural. Stale.
Was there anything you did like, Scott? Like maybe that would be easier to discuss.
I will bring that up on my hit.
Oh, there's only one thing that he liked about the entire episode.
No, I did like Dwight.
Okay.
I thought Dwight's character in this was really good, and I really did like the way that they handled Dwight and Morgan.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I thought those were two really positives with the story. And I'm interested in watching the next episode because I want to see that go further. Because I thought it was great the way that John and June were able to convince Dwight to keep on going. And the fact that, you know, he was accepting them. And he was the Dwight we remembered who's actually deep down a good guy.
Yeah.
So, I found that to be very good.
Well, let's explore Dwight, the whole scene, a little bit, the storyline. Because I also really liked that. I liked the way that they introduced him, but more than anything, I liked the way that they explained how he ended up in Texas. That he was following these symbols in order to find
Sherry
his wife.
That Sherry was leaving, right.
Because otherwise, I'm like, what are the odds he's going to be in Texas?
The Mobius Strip,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. So, but my question is like, okay, it's another attention to detail, but like, why isn't Sherry just waiting for him?
Yeah,
somewhere?
Exactly. Why does she keep running?
Yeah, I don't get that. And if he's been,
I don't either.
He's been searching for over a year.
And
especially when they're in an area where people have been staying for a while.
Yeah.
And if he's getting all these clues so easily, but he can't find her.
Right.
He can find all these little clues everywhere, but he can't find her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, right. I mean, seems kind of improbable. The other thing was, does the van not have plates on it? I didn't look to see if it had plates or not.
I have no idea.
But wouldn't that be a lot easier than trying to figure out the VIN number on the van?
Very good point.
He's like, I have the registration, the VIN number doesn't match. I was like, well, it would have the plate number on there too, which would be a lot easier to see from a distance.
Yeah.
And then Dwight wouldn't be trying to kill them. But I didn't see if the plates were gone, and I don't even know in the apocalypse why anybody would be stealing plates.
I don't either.
To decorate but anyway,
unless
barn.
They're collectors, they want to show what states they've been through.
Yeah.
Pull up. Yeah. I will tell you this, though. I did love the way... I loved Morgan's first question to Dwight was, so did you take 20?
Yes, I know.
That was good,
yes,
too.
Down to 80, and then I picked up 85.
Yeah, that was great.
I love that. That was awesome.
Yeah, because I was actually thinking, oh, yeah, that's probably where I would go.
But I was just thinking, that was such a great line because it disarmed Dwight.
Mm-hmm. It did.
Right off the bat.
Now, I read another article that actually has some sort of significance about...
Well, it took him through Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that
yeah.
was part of the thing.
Well, he said he got down to Georgia and cut over on 20.
But it's something about the roads being blocked, possibly by Alpha or somebody else. And that's what forced him to take that route.
Mm.
Yeah, he said that Sherry was driven that way.
Right.
So, yeah, something about it. I don't know. We'll see. But wait a minute. Where's Alpha?
She's in Virginia.
She's in Virginia. She ain't in Georgia.
No, but if he had to take 20 south, there was something about it. We don't know where the blockage is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, right. But 20 south, if you're going south.
Where are you going? You got to go west south. On 20.
Yeah, I mean, number one, he was following
to Montgomery.
Sherry.
You got to go over that way.
He was following Sherry, and I think Sherry took 20, so he followed 20. But it's also a logical way out of that area.
I think Alpha went down the Gulf Coast. Isn't she on vacation right now?
I think so. She's on a schooner.
Nonetheless, there's something that forced them to take that route.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to find out about it later.
I'm Alpha. I need another pina colada.
I'm Alpha. I like to catch tuna.
Oh, God.
Give me a quiet on that one. Was that like a... completely another connotation that you're thinking about?
Yes.
Okay.
That got you right in the gulch.
Ba-dum-bump. Anyways, I'm glad that they made it, what's the word I'm looking for? Believable, I guess, as to why he's around. And
why, like, Dwight is around? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. It's okay. It's cool that he's there. It's not... like, suspend disbelief or anything like that. So,
yeah, for the most part. I mean, yeah, it's still a little bit, but I don't have a problem with it. Let me put it that way. I can suspend belief with that one and be fine with it.
But I also like that he came in on June and John and not Morgan. Like, June and right. John are the ones that brought him into our group, and then Morgan sees him. I like the way that they have introduced mm-hmm. him into the show.
I was just wondering, though, if... because of that, because of the way they did it, I was wondering if they were building up to having a showdown between Morgan and Dwight.
Yeah, and that's yeah. unneeded.
When he realizes, you know, that he likes June and John, and then all of a sudden he gets together with the group and he's like, oh, mm-hmm. Morgan's here. You know, and I was like, oh, God, if they do that, I'm just
going to... And then Morgan pipes him in the throat and then
well,
it's over.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
See, and that's the other thing that I really liked, that when... John was talking to June about him. He's like, oh, that's a really bad burn on his face. Mm-hmm. They have no right. idea about Negan or anything that went down
well,
back in
Virginia.
Well,
they even said, right, yeah. They even said, you know, do you think that happened before? And she says, no, that happened afterwards.
I actually liked when he called them walkers and
yeah. yes.
John reacted to it, which yes. was a yes. great little move.
So it's cool to yep. see, like, all the stuff that we know from Walking Dead that's coming over into this, which I don't think Morgan really brought with him. Morgan brought just internal angst, whereas Dwight's bringing an entire storyline with him, with yeah. his wife mm-hmm. and everything. And I like how they're melding the two shows. Yeah. And I feel like that's their way of ramping up to the movie that's going to be coming out.
Well, and also the other thing that is a little different with how they are their interest in introducing Dwight here is that he drove there and Morgan was always walking everywhere. And you're like, mm-hmm. that's just implausible
mm-hmm.
that he would actually just be walking. And he's not actually walking there, but they always filmed him as though he was just like walking across the states.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Morgan's been with them for quite a while.
Yeah.
At this point.
And, right? Yes. But, and then you also have this other connection between Al and the other people that Morgan knows, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
right.
Both of those, I think I question. And Daniel. I've always questioned more than seeing Dwight show up now for some reason. And Dwight had, again, I agree. I don't, it doesn't bother me as much. But maybe it's just because of the fact that we've already had, like, a couple other people that have interacted with our people over in Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
It is funny that they all got trapped in the circle, though.
Yes. Yeah.
That's kind of weird. They just happen to all get trapped in the circle.
I almost said what circle, but now I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The Walker Jerky circle.
Right, right, right. yeah, so the
circle
kids.
Jerky.
Circle jerky.
You think the kids are just trying to protect their own little homestead? Like, do they have anything to do with the...
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Critters?
I have no idea.
I'm disappointed with the kids thing.
I am totally disappointed with the kids thing. What kid is going to think to set up a perimeter?
I mean...
And what kid is going to be able to kill that many walkers and be able to string them up like that without... They didn't even
kill
them.
Well, they didn't kill them. They corralled them.
Exactly.
That's even harder.
How did they do
that's
that?
That's even harder.
I don't believe it at all.
No, it's silly.
And it sounds like the oldest sisters.
And the fact that it's a barrier period. You know, that's a lot of work for those kids to be doing. When are they, you know, hunting and shit?
Yeah.
You know, getting supplies.
Yep.
And the sister seems like she's in control.
They're out mending fences.
But even that kid, when they were showing him at the end, looked completely uncomfortable setting that one walker up, even though they've supposedly set up like hundreds of these things.
You're right.
Yeah.
And what did they do? Beat up their little brother and stick him in that van?
Nah, they got walker guts all over him, I'm sure.
And are we to believe that he's okay? Is he going to get affected by the
he's
walker
fine.
Guts?
And did they have just like a big roll of intestines somewhere that they're...
I think so.
I don't know. It's just, I'm not happy with that part at all. I'm going to be even more disappointed if the entire reason they're doing that is just to protect their little homestead.
Well, that is all they're doing.
That's silly.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's, I guess it's to scare people
well,
off.
Well, I'm not so sure, Stu, because I don't understand the whole thing about the barriers. And then they send the one kid in there to learn about why they're really there.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would, you know, they want to get rid of them, evidently, but why
they
really...
they want to try and figure them out at the same point. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to figure them out.
What? They want to get rid of who?
They want to get rid of, all of them. But
all of them.
Who's them?
All of our gang.
Oh.
Our gang.
Okay.
They don't want our gang in their area.
Gotcha.
But I
when you say
so
our
they build
gang,
a walker wall around them.
I just
want to
say
it,
when or? You say our gang, I always think of the Little Rascals.
I know, and that's my intention.
Okay, thanks.
Our Little Rascals.
Go ahead, you were going to say something. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. So the walker gut wall or fence is
circle jerky,
circling them into an area. So what's it keeping them away from?
I don't know. And I'm always trying to figure out, are they on the inside or are they on the outside at this
point?
They're
on the inside.
And then when they break through, now are they on the outside? But they keep running into more of them. It's like how...
Or wait a minute, maybe they are on the outside.
How mobile are these children? And how big is the space? And it actually has a whole... Humbug Gulch.
No, they must be. They must be on the outside.
But is the Humbug Gulch, like, within it?
No, they have to be on the outside of the perimeter.
Of course they're on the outside of the perimeter.
Why? Why, of course?
Because they're trying to protect their little homestead.
And does that have anything to do with the perimeter of where
the
power plant is? Because
exactly.
The woman thought it did.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really, right?
Well, we don't know.
We have no idea.
Ah!
We have no...
I'm so frustrated. Last week, we left it off with, okay, they just threw down all the cards, and we're going to see, like, where they shake it out as far as the storyline. And this week, I feel like they've used up all the things they threw down, but I don't like where they're going.
Yeah, they have tried to steer us in some stuff, and I think the writers and Coleman and them just kind of wanted to make a hokey episode.
But what do they have? Do they have anything else that's like?
But they weren't very good at it. They were ham-handed with it.
Yeah. Do they have anything else that's questionable now? Like, do they have any other bad people that like?
Well, we still don't. We don't know the radioactive people. That stole Al. We don't know the radioactive people. The kids. Where's Al?
Oh right.
And then okay. The guy back. So there, at the, that's right. That's true. Denim I'm sorry. Factory.
That was a dumb question. Yeah, there are the. Yeah,
we got the denim factory thing going on, too.
The tubers.
But but let's not forget, like, the whole premise of this season so far is the fact that they want to help people. So now we've got two different scenarios where the group has supposedly helped people for real, and that is, one, Dwight, and two, now the kids. But now the kids are going to bite them in the ass again, and it's going to be another situation that we just saw where Max Headroom, a.k.a. the denim factory owner, screwed them over and pretended he needed help, and he's actually taking back the denim factory. So now we've got the same scenario with the kids, and it's like one more incident where Alicia's getting all pumped up, she's excited, and then her hopes are going to be dashed when she finds out who's actually
They missed such a funny opportunity that they could have had, that it would have actually been really good. When Lucy goes into her whole thing about saving people, you know, and talking about, well, we plane crashed for some, we almost died for the people. How can it get any worse? It would have been great if Alicia just cracked up when she said that. Yeah, and then Lucy started cracking up, too. I mean, just because she said that, how could it get worse?
Yeah, I know. And
that would have been a great scene. Yes,
it always gets worse.
But that's my point, is like, how many times are they going to make it worse? Like, are we going to do this all season?
Well, we wouldn't keep... Yeah, we will watch if they don't make it worse.
But I don't want this same scenario happening all season. We're three episodes in and we've already had it twice.
Yeah, well, we'll get to Denim Boy later on, I'm sure, after they get out of the circle gut circle.
So Dwight's really their only success story, and they haven't even really... They haven't found Sherry yet, so they haven't fulfilled the prophecy or whatever.
Well, yeah, he's their first opportunity.
Yeah.
But and like you said, that's the concept is behind this whole season, is that they are trying to help people, but
they're failing miserably.
It seems like the premise was really they just dropped into the middle of nowhere, and we're just going to try and figure our way out of this.
Yeah.
Yes, we're dropped into a puzzle box.
Yep.
And we'll figure it out. And it's very close to midnight, even though it's like 3 in the afternoon.
And I'm And I guess the only reason they're staying there is because...
I played that back 3 times because I wanted to make sure I actually heard what I thought I heard.
But their only reasoning for staying in this area is to now help these kids who are actually the ones that are the bad guys at this point.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be the wicked twist.
Yeah.
I think we could take a break.
I think we will. So we'll go ahead and take a break and we'll be back in a minute. All right, everybody, we're back. We're going to go right into our hits and misses for the episode. Kim, you want to take us out of the barn?
Yeah, my hit was when they are in the shootout in the Wild West town and the zombie is framed in the Western photo op cutout.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Hilarious.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Fantastic. See, that was a good attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had some in there that were their good attentions, but the real details, though, they weren't looking at. They had gimmicky details that they put in
Lots
there.
Lots of gimmicky details, yes.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good one.
Okay.
Stu?
Actually, my hit was just the whole shootout scene, other than the axe part. I enjoyed that. I mean, I have to say, it was a little frustrating with... With Dwight, like, going off to his own car mm-hmm. when they thought they were saving him after yeah, they've already right. saved him and he jumps off the roof and stuff. But I actually...
Yeah, then they have to have another speech while he's inside
yeah, the but I, yeah, I thought the scene with them during the shootout was probably my favorite part of the episode.
But, you know, Stu, I even thought it was a little lame, though. The, yet again, you know, Dwight goes up...
Light, my hit? Really?
Yeah, a little bit. Because, I mean, Dwight comes running up with the axe and nails a walker, and the walker just slowly falls on him.
Well, he got the axe kind of stuck in his head, and he kind of pulled him on him, too.
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, come on. I could have dodged that.
Yeah, but remember, he was shot in the arm, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was definitely debilitating.
Yes. Right. They well, he fell on it, too, when he jumped off the roof, so.
Yes. Yes.
He kind of did a lot just to that arm.
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't very bright.
No.
All right. Well, you hit on what, on my hit, which I was very disappointed on, with you doing that. I loved when Dwight called them walkers, and John yeah. asked him about that.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. I like that reference being brought out, and the fact that John even was kind of like, really, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
I think just the introduction of Dwight himself in mm-hmm. that was great. And
yeah.
it was,
yeah,
I think
it was
well, done.
Well handled. It was well handled. We got the Dwight that we liked.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that was kind of, you know, on the edge, but really a good guy in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, my miss.
Yes. What is your miss, Kim?
I kind of changed my miss just because of our discussion. And that is, I'm kind of disappointed in myself when I said at the beginning that it was an amazing episode.
So, Kim was the miss?
I'm the miss.
So, your
For
initial,
the first time ever.
Your initial reaction is the miss.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny.
Because we certainly picked it apart. So, yeah.
That is very true. That is a good point.
I'm second guessing myself funny. There.
Stu, what's your miss?
My miss? Yeah, okay. I know what your reaction is probably going to be to this. I know you have an answer to this. But it still
bothered me. Spit beer all over my computer?
It still bothered me. When Dwight yes. goes into the van, the back window uh-huh. is blown out.
Right.
But
right.
there's really no danger to him. And he's completely right. surrounded mm-hmm. by walkers all around him. Uh-huh. Yet he has no window in the back.
Uh-huh.
And right. they can't crawl through there at all and get to him. Because they don't crawl, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Like, they won't, like, get up in there. It just really bothered me that, like, really, there was no problem with him being in there, even though
but
he's actually exposed.
They could break the glass.
They could break the glass.
That's surrounding him.
Yeah.
And then reach him very easily.
Yeah, but and there were tons of them.
Yeah.
Right.
But yet, he's fine. It was that easy yeah. to get him out of there. When we're supposed to be so scared of these things.
Right.
And yet, he's mm-hmm. surrounded by them, and it's like, really, they're not doing anything to him at all.
Yep. That's, I mean, I agree.
Yeah. And the brothel.
And the brothel.
Because he said that you could get soup there, and I thought that was ridiculous.
I thought you'd love that.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Scott.
Nice. Nice. I love it. My miss is, there's so many, I don't even know where to start.
Where to start? You mean, it's like where to finish. We've already been going through them all
I know.
The entire time.
Yeah, I mean, the one I wrote down was the blowing trees. I mean, that just really got under my skin big time. But no, I just thought it was a horribly directed episode. And
so you're leaving it all on Coleman D'Amico on this one.
I am. I mean, don't get me wrong. The writing was bad, but but the.
You know what it might be, sort of, with a person that's probably not as experienced in directing, is that right. he is seriously framing stills. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going yeah. for just the stills, and right. not, like, well, the action of what's going on, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I think the writers intended it to be even more hokey and less, I think he didn't know how to commit. He didn't know how to commit to one thing or the other. So he made some stuff a little hokey and some stuff serious. And then there was so many just errors in storyline, you know, or disappointment with the kids and stuff like that. But I think, yeah, I think
he needs
to...
That's big picture stuff, though.
Right, right.
So I think,
yeah,
it's
that,
probably
that's
not,
right. I'm saying that,
not what he's dealing with, so...
And I agree with you totally. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there was that stuff, underlying stuff that, that made it a little bit harder to take. But I just don't think he really grasped, he didn't commit to what the writers were trying to do there.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to. Oh, yeah, I noticed that, Kim, you were talking about the walker. They did another classic walker, cowboy walker, with when they shot the one walker and he fell in the horse trough.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah, that was a classic Western thing, you know. So they got, you know, they put a lot of that kind of stuff in there, but then they just...
They fell short of everything else.
Yeah, they just didn't follow through very well with the stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's my take.
Okay.
Well, I think that would, I think it would be difficult, really, when you think about it, because you are dealing with not going too hokey on it.
Right.
You know, because he's he's kind of set with this whole environment that is a little ridiculous. Because, I mean, they're coming across Old West now, and all of a sudden we're supposed to be in the Old West world, which is what he dealt with.
Right. And this was supposed to be zombies in Westworld. Yes. And
very just, much so.
Yeah. You needed to commit one way or the other. Either you're going to make the thing hokey as hell and try to just have fun with it, or you try to... find ways to make it as realistic as possible, and he couldn't accomplish either one, really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that same note, we have some listener feedback, and our first to go is Mark LaVarnway. Okie dokie, Smokey. Now we're getting somewhere. While my misses still outnumber the total combined misses of Kim since the podcast began, I'm getting interested. Wish there would had been some tension between Dwight and Morgan, but whatever. Isn't it strange how the walkers will tear apart a door frame to get to a piano, but are docile as hell if you tie their guys together? Damn kids and their stupid dog. Oh, wait, wrong show.
Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. That's good. Joe Johnson said, John motherfucking Dory and the San Antonio Split.
Oh, you know what? I bet Joe Johnson was hoping Kim was going to read that, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, now that I got that out of the way, are we supposed to believe that the Children of the Corn kids are the big bads hanging heads? Cool episode. Definitely more enjoyable than the last.
I think for Joe, you need to at least read that first lining for him.
John motherfucking Dory with the San Antonio Split.
There you go.
It was better than mine. You're right.
Thank you. You gotta add some Southern in there. No, but I agree with Joe because, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying when we first started talking about the episode, is that it was a better episode than the first two of the season. When we start picking it apart, I'm like, oh crap, it's not a really good episode. And that kind of makes me worried for the rest of the season.
Well, yeah, I think it was...
I'm still holding out hope. The kids is disappointing, but...
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I think the end of the episode, trying to figure out, okay, what the hell are they doing with the next episode? It wasn't like, next episode, I'm excited to see what happens. I'm like, I hope they figure it out, because these kids are kind of screwing
it
up.
It's like, what do we do now? Well,
not only that, they were... But most of the previews for the next episode were... Daniel stuff, and I'm just not quite getting into that storyline that much.
Right.
So
maybe next week you will.
Maybe I will. Maybe I keep holding out hope, guys. Keep holding it out.
It gets you through day to day, buddy. I'm sorry.
All right. Schrodinger's cat at In Paradox State said, writers have no overall story direction. Rather than character development moving story forward, they're just pawns of the plot, and plot is showing cool zombies never seen, i.e. radiation and tornado, and forcing silly arcs to get there with vague theme of finding hope thrown in with a few lines.
Yeah, hey, Schrodinger, don't forget about the bird shit walker, too. That was the best one so far.
That was pretty funny.
That's true. Cash Cooper at Cash Coop said, fuck the kids. We should have known. I like the pacing of this episode and learning more about John's entertaining past. I like the parallels with the comic regarding the theme of deserving to be happy despite your past actions. Loved the San Antonio Split. Okay, Cash. I think that's you.
I think Cash was stoned when he wrote that.
Well, because honestly, that is more of a comic booky kind of thing, I would think.
No, I'm kidding.
But
still. Just messing with you, Cash. David Valentin at DV Orlando said, it was entertaining, had a hard time understanding why his wife keeps running and leaving clues.
Yeah, we
have the same questions.
So
we have the same questions.
David actually liked this episode, but he doesn't like any of the other episodes that he writes it about.
Well, he didn't. No. Let me back up. I will say that he did have a negative comment at the end.
He does. He okay, does.
So. He finished strong.
And I agree with his comment, because yes. It's like, bitch, stay in one spot.
Way to stay true to form, David. Way to stay true to form.
I mean, if she would just
don't
be like...
Don't let the peer pressure get to you.
Hey, I'm going to stop in that house that's down the street at, like,
yes.
Martin Road, blah, blah, blah. You'll find me there.
I'm guessing the infinity symbol, I think, means... This is how long you will be searching for me.
Yes.
Exactly. Kim, I love the way you said that because it sounded so much like a episode of Drunk History. Very nicely put.
I would do very well on Drunk History. I would love to be on that show. Would.
Yes.
I think you would be adorable.
She'd be like, hey, why are you doing that?
Be like, oh my God, you've been searching forever for me and I'm right here.
Faked you out. You're pretty lame. You're not very good at finding people.
No, not at all.
Wow.
All right, we're submitting that shit to Comedy Central.
Totally.
Next week on Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 4, Skidmark. The cat is back. Mm. Sarah Strand and Wendell run into an issue with a rescue mission as Charlie meets a new friend. Morgan, Alicia, and Luciana try to finish their mission.
Scott, hopefully it is something about the cat. And this time not about a different kind of skid mark.
Exactly. I hope so.
Oh, Lord.
So, but, yeah, we're going to be dealing with Daniel in the next one. Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody sound excited.
Oh.
All at once.
I'm still holding on hope that this will be interesting.
Well, I watched the preview for next week, and it was like, meh. Charlie is, like, in the back of Daniel's truck. And get stuck there.
Oh, because yeah, she was trying to infiltrate his compound. That's right.
I was like,
that's not
exciting to me, guys.
They're gonna steal a plane. I didn't know everybody could fly a plane, but I guess they all can.
Now Charlie can.
Ah, excellent.
Yes. But only with the help of Skidmark.
Only with the help of Skidmark.
All right, you guys, if you'd like to write to us, you can reach us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. At Twitter at Fear Me Podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/Fear Me Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.